Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
He's business's bad boy.
You're bad, and I like it.
Yep, he's one bad apple.
That's right, we're bad. That's right.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
We're back. It's 2:34 after the hour. Thank you very much for hanging around with me as we continue to celebrate our 10th anniversary of the Small Business Advocate Show. Thank you for allowing us to celebrate and for celebrating with us. Joan Pride is here. She's our good friend and longtime member of our Brain Trust, and she's senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors. Joan, welcome back.
Thanks, Jim. Hello there.
How you doing?
I'm pretty good. How are you?
All right. You're pretty excited to be here, aren't you?
As always.
We've been celebrating, Joan.
Have you now? The 20,
would you like to join us?
I mean 10 years.
Only seems like 20, right?
No, that's right. You heard it here first.
Joan, in the Kiplinger letter this week, you talk about some of the challenges we're going to have in the future with labor shortages. That's the lead.
That's right.
And explain that to us. Why do you think we're going to have labor shortages?
Well, and the time frame we're looking at here is the next 5 to 10 years. And we actually say that labor shortages will become acute. And the first reason we give is, I think, something that everybody should be aware of, which is the aging population. But we also say education weaknesses are going to be a factor as well. And I think that's something that's been building for a long time.
Education weaknesses, meaning that our jobs that we're going to have are going to become more sophisticated in the United States as we ship the low sophistication jobs overseas. But we're not raising the kind of workers to take those jobs? Is that what you're saying?
Exactly. We've been calling that, well, we call that skill shortages. And gosh, I've been writing about skill shortages probably for years now. Back when I covered labor for Kiplinger, that was back almost 10 years ago, people were complaining about severe skills shortages. So you can see it really hasn't gotten any better. And I'd never thought much about it, but if you think about it, say a job such as a garage mechanic doesn't sound very, sophisticated or glamorous, but you have to know a lot more about technology these days because cars are high tech.
Exactly.
And it's a real problem.
Well, you've heard me say on the show before that I asked a person that I met one time who built a greenfield paper mill, you know, to make coarse paper like hand towels and things like that.
Jim, I've lost you.
I'm still here.
Okay, it faded out and there was some noise.
About that. We're on the road. Sometimes it's a little bit different.
Yeah.
But I heard a greenfield, a manager of a greenfield paper plant that makes coarse paper like hand towels. And I asked him how many people he had working for him. He said half as many as the plant I built 10 years ago, 400. In other words, 10 years before, it took 800 people to run a plant. Now it took 400 people to run the same plant. And I said, how many of your people use technology in the direct performance of the job? He said 100%.
Wow. I'm not
now,
surprised.
Now, let me add another statistic on the top of your acute labor shortage prediction here. Bill Dunkelberg, one of our top economists in our Brain Trust, has reported to us and has reconfirmed this when I've asked him to do this. He's confirmed that in America, we may have as many as 2 million jobs going unfilled right now.
That's huge.
So this prediction you're making has already happened.
Yeah, I'm afraid so. And we're saying it's only going to get worse.
Yeah. And so one of the problems you guys point out is that we don't, we've got all these undocumented workers, we now say, not illegal, got all these undocumented workers, but most of them are low-skilled workers.
Right.
And we need people to come in who are skilled on visas, and we're not getting enough of those, are we?
Well, the problem is those visa programs, there's quotas in those visa programs. They fill up, and companies still need more, and Congress has been unwilling to increase those programs as much as businesses want.
Right. Well, and also, Joan, in a book called Flight Capital, David Noonan is, I think, is the author. He wrote, he talked about how all the people who used to come here and get their education and then stay here from other countries, the brain trust of those countries used to do that. He said now they're either not coming here, or if they come here to get their education, they're going back home after they
right.
do that.
They're often going back home. Exactly.
So that's a problem. Joan, stand by. We're going to take a quick break. Right back. Maybe we'll find some good news in a minute, folks. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
So keep it up, quench my desire, and I'll be at your side forevermore.
Don't let the sun catch you crying.
Welcome back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. And my websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com and askjim.biz. Hope you check those out when you get a chance. Joan Pride is our guest. She's senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors. And Joan, Kiplinger.com is your website, isn't it?
You bet.
And of course, their publications are there, folks. The Kiplinger Letter, which is weekly, and the three biweekly letters, the Agriculture Letter, the Tax Letter, and the California Letter. That's the other one.
That's right.
And you got a magazine.
We do. It's called Kiplinger's Personal Finance Magazine.
And a toll-free number, too.
That's right. Our toll-free number is 800-544-0155.
I like telling people about Kiplinger, folks, because they're a family-owned, third-generation, maybe about to be fourth-generation, small business in a sea of sharks.
That's right.
A big sea of sharks. And they still continue to march, and it makes me proud of them.
Thank you.
Joan, one of the things that you guys talk about in the letter about this employment issue are some of the things small business owners are going to have to do. We've always had a problem being competitive with big companies because we don't offer the benefits that the
right.
big companies do. And so that's not going to change a lot, but there are some things we can do. We're going to have to work on the benefits thing a little bit more, but also there are other things we can do, like giving them training. You guys point that out. And we're going to have to be more flexible with the workers that we have available to us, aren't we?
Well, and the training issue, I think, is important. It's good you mentioned that. I wrote about this a few years ago, where a lot of small businesses are partnering with community colleges to get custom-tailored training programs for their workers.
Yeah.
And those
yeah.
are often a very good fit.
And, folks, I encourage you to talk to your Chamber of Commerce about I think you might be surprised to find that the people who know the most about what Joan just said about the connection between the marketplace and the education, the nexus of that in a lot of communities, Joan, is the Chamber of Commerce.
That's very true. And also, if you're in manufacturing, don't overlook the National Association of Manufacturers. I know that they have been working on skill standards and the skill shortage problem for a long time.
Joan, another thing as we wrap up this part of the conversation about the job shortages, technology is the key, in my opinion, for small business owners to be successful in the future.
Absolutely.
We've got to automate so many things now, and the technology is available to us, Joan, and that's one of the most exciting things about being a small business owner right now.
Boy, that's huge. And that is really going to get us past, I think, a lot of the skill shortage problem that we have.
Joan, I'm telling you, if it weren't for technology, if we hadn't progressed as much as we have with technology and gotten it incrementalized for small business, not only in terms of the application but also the pricing, this economy would have ground to a halt a long time ago.
Well, and that's how productivity has just, you know, been sky high.
That's exactly right. What do you think about the older people, like me, Joan? Do you think we're going to keep working?
Oh, gosh. Well, if it's you, Jim, yes, I think so. Well, I think they will want to keep working. I think we're going to have a whole new paradigm for retirement. It's not going to be just you work full-time and then you stop and do nothing. I think, you know, phased retirement is a good thing, but I also think, you know, a lot of people are going to want to keep their hand in, even if it's only part-time, and companies are going to need this because these people are the institutional memory, and they're going to want to keep them around.
That's another thing for small business owners to think about, Joan, is look to retirees, people who have finished one career and they want to do something else. Look to those people and consider them seriously for a job.
And also look to your own people that may be nearing retirement and figure out what kind of deals you can strike with them to keep them around so that somebody else doesn't snatch them up.
At least part-time, exactly.
Right.
Joan, let's move over and talk about the bad news.
Oh, do we have to?
I'm afraid so. Oil.
Oh.
Are you guys predicting $125 a barrel?
Yeah, I guess so.
In the next month or two?
I guess so.
Joan.
I know. And I heard on the radio this morning, prediction of $4 a gallon gasoline very soon and maybe $5 before too long. $5 a gallon.
Well, that's scary, Joan. That's, you know, Bill Dunkelberg in the last hour told us that the core inflation, I think he called it that number. He said that's 4%, and that doesn't include energy and food.
4% without energy and food? Ooh.
Yes, and the broader number, I forgot what he called that. The broader number, the big number, is with that, he says that's going to come in a lot higher, of course. So that's a scary number, Joan.
Well, and, you know, I hate to sound like the sky is falling, but it makes me nervous to think we could be heading for stagflation. Because I remember stagflation from the 70s.
You like talking about stagflation, don't you, Joan?
I do. It traumatized me when I was young.
It was like the Martians were coming, right?
Yes.
Well, I think, Joan, I still think, and I'm going to come back to say what I said last hour. Let's just keep our wits about us. Let's just check our position in the marketplace, with our customers. Let's check our own prices, our own products that we're having to buy, and let's not get too hysterical. We can work out of this challenge that we've got here, and just not get hysterical. Joan, I'm worried that we're going to talk ourselves into a downturn.
Okay, well, just slap me if I get too hysterical.
Don't worry, I'll be glad to do that.
I'm sure you wouldn't mind.
Because I know you'll be glad to do that for me too, Joan.
Right.
Hold on to that thought. We're going to take a quick break, folks. When we come back, we're going to talk about some other stuff that's going on that I'm afraid might not be great news. Mortgages. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Are you reeling in the years? Stowing away the time? Are you gathering up the keys?
My heart is crying.
We're back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blessingame, Small Business Advocate, celebrating 10 years of the Small Business Advocate Show, doing it today and tomorrow in New York City. Broadcasting from the Union League Club, actually, on the sixth floor, third floor, I guess it is, of the Union League Club. Joan Pride is our guest. She's senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors. Joan, you're kind of bumming me out today.
I know. Isn't that terrible?
What's the news on the mortgage front?
Well, more bad news. We're saying that up to 1 in 5 risky mortgages may go into foreclosure. And we're saying that subprime and other types of loans of that ilk account for a quarter of all mortgage debt. So we're really not out of the woods yet.
Well, you know, Joan, you live in an area that's probably being more affected by this maybe than some other areas. I don't know how bad this is across America. I know that a lot of the big cities like Las Vegas, Miami, places like that is tough, and I think D.C.'s kind of having a tough time, aren't they?
Well, I don't know. In terms of housing prices, we're not seeing the decline that you see in other areas. Maybe out in the suburbs you're seeing it.
Right. But how is it? How do you think this is going to affect the rest of the associated services that are associated with the buying and selling and new mortgages?
Well, it's got to have a big effect, I'm sure.
Don't you have some anecdotal?
Oh, right. Yes, a good friend of mine is an appraiser, and he used to have more work than he could handle, as you can imagine. And now the work has not just slowed to a trickle, but it's completely dried up. Completely. This last week he's had no work at all, and that's really unusual. So he's pretty concerned.
The one reason why I want people to keep their wits about them and keep their heads on about all this is people are still working, Joan. We're still creating jobs. The real estate is a fixed asset that's not going to vaporize like stock value.
That's true.
So I saw where some stock went down the other day 60%, and they lost $2 billion of market capitalization. You know what? That was funny money. That was monopoly money.
Yeah. It was
and
on
so
paper.
Real estate is not monopoly money.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a real asset. And so this issue we have right now, this challenge we have in the marketplace, is something we can work through if we just keep our wits about us.
That's true.
Joan, talk to us about the 08 election. You guys covered that this week, too.
Yeah, we're saying that that we think the Democrats are likely to increase their House majority. You know, right now they're up by 33 seats, so that's 233 to 200. And there's a lot of Republicans who are not running again, which leaves more open seats for Democrats to challenge.
You think they're not running because it's not fun anymore?
Exactly. That happened to a bunch of Democrats after the Republicans took over in the Gingrich era.
It's not fun to be in the minority, is it?
Yeah, right.
So they're not players, right, Joan? They're fair weather politicians.
It sure sounds that way.
They just take their marbles and go home. Is
right.
that right?
Right. Take their football and leave.
So what? But now you're talking about the House, right? Not the Senate.
Right.
But the Senate's not looking too good for the Republicans either, is it?
I don't think so. I think you have the same problem there. I think you have, you know, well, it's just the luck of the draw. This time around, you know, a third of the Senate comes up every 2 years.
Yeah.
And this time around, it just so happens that there are a lot more Republicans up than Democrats. So a lot more Republicans are going to have to defend their seats this time, relatively speaking. I don't know about that many retirements, although, for example, Senator John Warner, who I'm sure would have been easily reelected, has decided not to run again. You have a few others like that, I think.
Well, he's on up there in years. I mean, he's
80.
30, 80,
yeah.
Isn't he?
He's 80, and he's had some health problems recently.
He looks great, though. I hope I look like him. Heck, I don't look like him now.
Yeah. I only know about this because it's Virginia, but the early betting is that no relation, Mark Warner, former governor, who's a Democrat, is considered to be the front runner for that seat. So there you would have at least one pickup for the Democrats, although it's really too early to speculate.
Right. So it's going to be a very interesting election. This may be one of the most interesting elections, Joan, in my lifetime. What do you think?
Well, and I don't think you can make a lot of assumptions. I don't think you can assume, for example, that the Democrats are going to increase their majority necessarily. A lot could happen between now and Election Day.
Yeah, yeah. But with the presidential election and everything, I think it's going to be a wild ride, Joan.
I think so.
Hey, Joan, thanks for being here. Thanks for helping us celebrate 10 years.
Oh, congratulations, Jim.
Talk to you later.
Okay.
Joan Pride, ladies and gentlemen. She'll be back. I got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. And as you know, this program is for you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.